I am Mary Wood, not Mary Magdalene. No, I really wish I was her, because if I could hold on to Jesus' ankles just for a minute, I think it would be the most awesome thing. I really do. But I can't. I can do that here today. It's not the same as it was for her, because she was in front of him, and she could touch him. But I know he's here. I know he's in me. He's in all of you. And when I look at you, I can see that. It's just so incredible. And I don't know if I've met everybody here today, but I hope I will before this weekend's over. Because I have to tell you, the women at Touchstone Christian Fellowship, they're awesome women. They are awesome women, and I love them dearly. And I just cannot tell you how much you've given to me as part of our body. I just want to thank you. Let's see. Last night we had a video, and I think I got to be in a little bit of it, and I was talking about struggles with ADD and praying. And you know, spiritual ADD, it's so amazing how that's one of Satan's tools. And I can't believe how many times I'm devotedly trying to pray, and all of a sudden my checkbook comes up in my brain, or a load of laundry, or the dog does something, and then I'm gone. It's like, wait, Lord, I'm back. And so that kind of leads us into what we're doing today. We're going to talk about the strategies of Satan, because we think it's really important to be aware. And I have to tell you, this wasn't my favorite topic. I got to talk about coffee and Jesus before. I got to talk about Jesus as our roadmap in his humanity here on earth. But to talk about the strategies of Satan, I got really nervous. In fact, I asked Sharon if I could switch. That's what she said. No. I heard she was afraid too. But God reminded me to focus on him. Not on a really big attack, but on his really big protection. And so he said to me, I'm with you. I'm the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And you know, I saw him do it. I saw him take my hand. And I felt safe. Because really, he's my big daddy. And Satan's just a big old sneak daddy. And he doesn't want us aware of his tricks for how he does things anymore. So, we're going to talk a little bit about that. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I wrote, actually it's typed in a handout in session 2, and it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God does, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that kind of wraps up my talk. It's somewhere between the mind and the body that the heart's affected, and that is where Christ wants to be ruler. On our retreat flyer, it has women boxing on it to remind us of the spiritual battle we're in. We're talking about archangels, demons, all that exciting stuff. If you've ever read Frank Peretti, he describes it so vividly, this battle, and reminds us of what we've taken for granted, because it's all in the spiritual realm. Life is hard enough from our earthly view, but this spiritual battle would be overwhelming if it wasn't for God and his supernatural powers. C.S. Lewis warns us in Screwtape Letters to have balance when we focus on devils. And that there are two errors we can make. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and healthy interest in them. You need to be in the middle. This is not meant to scare you, but to inform you of his tactics. In this battle, he'll grab whatever is available and unprotected, but we have much more help available to us. When I was young, I used to yell for help when one of my brothers would tease me, hoping another would come save me. Sometimes it worked, and sometimes we just ended up in a big pile. It looked like against all odds, because I was stuck in the middle of all of them. But not when my dad came home, when my dad came home, I was safe. He didn't allow my brothers to hurt me. He couldn't even spank my sister or I because we were his little girls.
My mom did that.
She said she didn't spank me enough. Now, she told my husband that. My dad taught me about safety as a little girl, and I had to obey what he taught me. Just like my dad, God teaches us how to be safe when Satan attacks. We're his little girls. And if you've never been anyone's little girl, now's your chance. If you've never felt that protective covering of another, God is here to draw you under his wing. He wants you protected and cared for. But we have a free will, and we need to obey his commands to be safe. My dad taught me to safely cross the street, looking both ways before crossing, and not walking out from in between cars. My husband taught my daughter how to safely ride a bike, how to brake, and how to crash on grass in case she was falling. I remember when my niece got a brand new bike. She was about 6 years old. She'd been riding a little hand-me-down trainer, and she was so excited to have her first bike. We all stood around as my brother took her out on a quiet street to ride, and she was very competitive and took to it quickly. She began to gain speed. Her hair was blowing and her little legs were pumping hard, and then we realized, to our horror, she was veering towards a parked truck. We shouted, "Brake, brake," over and over, and we yelled and ran after her, but it was too late. She hit the back of the parked truck at full speed. Wham! And down she went. She was fortunate not to have any serious injuries as we picked her up and brushed her off. But in between tears, she told us she'd been trying to brake with her feet, but it didn't work. My brother had shown her the new handbrakes on the handlebars, but didn't mention that this little bike didn't have coaster brakes like her old one. And in her panic, she just reacted and tried to brake harder with her little legs, doing what was familiar to save herself. Poor sweetie. We felt her stupid, too. But how often do we do that? Do we panic and just do what's familiar to try to save ourselves without knowing there's a better way? The full story is that God is with us and has a glorious plan for our lives. But there is an enemy who wishes to take away some of that glory. God wants us to know how Satan works so we can be ready. He knows the dangerous tricks of Satan that fool us into risky behavior. Warren Wiersbe calls him the deceiver, the destroyer, the ruler, and accuser. He describes Satan in these worlds with stories of Eve, Job, David, and Joshua in his book, The Strategies of Satan. So the name's not original. Screwtape Letters is another great book illustrating the devil's tactics. I really recommend it. It's so subtle and incredible. Satan is the master of deception. Jesus says there is no truth in him, and when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. He comes to us as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11. No wonder Satan picked a snake to appear to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3 describes the serpent in the garden as being more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord has made. The serpent tempted Eve by making her doubt God, and then spurred her pride with knowing more than God. Sorry, women, we like to know. We like to be in the know, and we like to know. But God knows how tough this is for us. He knew the serpent was crafty, but he let him in the garden because he warned Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree. We can't blame God for the serpent because we end up eating the apple. Satan is good at what he does, temptation, and we're good at disobeying sometimes. But we're better equipped to fight than Adam and Eve. Fortunately, we have Jesus' grace and power to overcome temptation. There's the way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 promises this. I like that one a lot. 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you haven't given your life to Christ, do so this weekend. You will be empowered to fight in this world, and you will be ready for the next. Let's look at Satan's mode of operation. It's always the same. Lies, lies, and more lies that create doubt, worry, fear, and despair. And then he tempts us with the wrong way out of those feelings. He attacks our mind, our heart, our body, leaving our spirits ravaged. God will attack our mind and fill us full of apprehension for the future, regret for the past, sleepless nights, obsessive thoughts. Doubt is his best tool. Like Eve, he lets us deceive. We lie awake at night, worrying that we said too much or too little, regretting things in the past we have no control over as we lay in bed. Things like making mistakes with our children, unkind words, money spent, bad attitudes. Why does he love to attack us at night? Because he likes us isolated and alone. He deceives us with all sorts of lies about who we are in Christ. Dr. Kohlmeier, a Christian psychologist, calls it stinking thinking. And it's that voice that continually tells us we are failures and God cannot love us. These thoughts are so different in the light of day, in God's light. We are to be children of the light, full of hope and glory. God inspires power, love, and sound mind. This is 1 Timothy 1. Conviction of the Holy Spirit inspires confession and repentance, not condemnation and despair. Romans 8, therefore there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1, 9. That's a promise. God convicts us with his Holy Spirit and draws us to him with his forgiveness. Please recognize those lies of the enemy and break them with God's word, or we'll all hit the back of the truck at full speed. Satan attacks our hearts with feelings of loneliness and abandonment. He works these into our relationships so we become dissatisfied with our spouse or family member, oversensitive with our coworkers, untrusting of strangers. As we carry these defensive feelings into our lives, our children come home with a bad grade, or our coworker wants to discuss a problem, and then we lose it, and Satan wins. We feel so badly we turn to substitutes for God's validation. Sin and addiction gain momentum. We do what is familiar in times of crisis without seeking God. Remember, his is a still, small voice, not a condemning, blaring one. So much of what Satan says to us about others is imaginary or overblown, and yet we react with real emotions that cause serious fallout. We would only seek God's truth before we act. God desires truth in our innermost parts and wisdom in our innermost places. Psalm 51:6. He promises to give us wisdom abundantly in James 1. I use these scriptures often before I bring up an offense. God shows me it is not about me, but something else is going on in my friend or husband, so I can step back. Or maybe he shows me it's all about me, and I need an attitude adjustment. Rats. Just when I think I can tell them what I really think, and he doesn't let me. You know what? He asks me to forgive or apologize. It's usually only the two choices. You may not like the truth, but the truth will set you free. Satan doesn't want us free. He compounds his efforts by attacking our bodies. Heartache and stinking thinking is debilitating enough, so add a little sickness, and we become totally tangled. Charles Stanley says one of Satan's most effective attacks involves striking at our bodies. Sickness, addictions, and stress often consume a person's entire life. The devil would much prefer that we focus on our bodies than on spiritual things. It keeps our eyes on the temporal, not the eternal. We are attacked at the worst times. We're sick or tired, and someone offends us. Could we have shaken it off? Not responded with such a sharp word if we felt better? Try HALT. It's an acronym Charles Stanley used in his daily devotional early life. It stands for hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Don't do or say anything until you take care of those feelings. Go to God first. Christ wants all of it. He wants all of this to cure sickness, depression, fatigue, emptiness. Come, you are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:28. Notice gentle and humble of heart, and we find rest. Rest for our souls. It's a heart thing. Christ wants our heart consumed with eternal things. Start taking a look at your distractions. Satan comes in cycles, exposing the weaknesses in our lives. Our marriages, families, workplace, finances, our health. He keeps a record of successful attacks and says, oh, I haven't hit our finances lately. So when? Let's let our car break down and cost a few thousand dollars. Let's stress her husband at work, and he can pass out occasionally. And then her parents can become ill. One can have cancer surgery and a heart attack, and the other can break her arm and need surgery at the same time. Her TMJ can flare up, so she's distracted with pain. Well, finally, when life settles down, she says, oh, thank you, Lord. Her son wakes up with a high fever, numb hands, and a terrible headache. And she receives a letter saying he'll be without insurance in March. Yes, all of this at Christmas time. She ended up hitting the back of the truck hard, head first, flat to the pavement. Well, this was my story last Christmas. I kept shaking my head as I sat on the sidewalk thinking, this is a bad movie and I'm a star. How did I hit so hard? I noticed as life became more chaotic, I pedaled faster and faster, and forgot to look where I was going, distractions multiplying. I was like my little niece, speeding towards a head-on collision, doing what was familiar, work harder, Mary, not resting in the Lord. And I'd forgotten my helmet. And I really did this weekend, and that's why this one didn't fit. The Lord has given me something to protect my head and transform my mind. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians 6, hence the helmet. And this is the armor of God. The first armor of God is to stand firm with a belt of truth around my waist. This is core training at its best, and it comes from God. Then put on the breastplate of righteousness of Christ to cover my heart. I need a pure heart. He's the one who can do it. Satan is waiting to accuse me of a sinful heart every morning, but Christ's mercies are new every morning. My feet are ready with the gospel of peace. This is the good news of Christ. So move over, Nike. I've got some witnessing to do. I have a shield of faith to deflect flaming arrows from the enemy, and it also keeps sparks out of my eyes. Flaming arrows are easy to see. But little sparks from those daily irritations corrode my witness. Next is the helmet of salvation. I really wish it fit. I would wear it. Okay. The helmet of salvation. Actually, I can't laugh and keep my place. So, with the helmet of salvation, Christ seals me on this team forever. It protects my head, reminding me to think daily. I am saved by the cross, and this makes my mind new. Then I wield the sword of the Spirit, God's Word. Take off S in sword, and you have Word. So you'll remember that your best defense is the Word of God. If we're going to stop Satan in his lies, you must know God's Word. Memorize it, pray it, use it offensively before he arrives. Christ quoted scripture to Satan in the desert, and he left Jesus alone. We have that power in God's Word available to us. Come out swinging your sword like Eowyn from the Lord of the Rings, and you'll knock down flaming arrows before they even get close. Satan often shoots the same arrows at us. When I am stressed, I become critical and controlling. After my husband fell and hurt his knee, I became critical and controlling. He had to stay off it for a while, so I picked up the slack at home. I felt powerless to help him, and I started resenting the extra work. Satan whispered, how unfair this was, and why didn't God help you? All of a sudden, a little spark became a flaming arrow. But the Holy Spirit spoke through a few of my friends. and gave me a fire extinguisher. I'm going to call it a liar extinguisher. They helped me to look at it with spiritual eyes because accountability is awesome. We have that in each other. I felt the Lord remind me to humble myself, asking for His grace that makes all things bearable. I just needed more grace to get through this trial, and His armor is my defense. It was definitely a sneak attack. Armor's great for flaming arrows, but sometimes it's an inside job from our flesh and our will. All Satan did was appeal to my pride in the unfairness of my situation, and woe is me, I'm so mistreated. Look at poor Eve. She saw the fruit. It was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom. The devil stirred up her will, piqued her flesh, and appealed to her pride. Didn't she want to know as much as God? Hey, being equal to God is one of man's greatest follies. I'm sorry, greatest desires and biggest follies. Even one of his mightiest angels fell for this. Look at Satan described in Isaiah 14:12. How have you fallen from earth, O morning star, son of dawn? You've been cast down to earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you were brought to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Notice how many times Satan has said, I will. How many times do I say, I will, and not thy will? Satan wants us in the pit with him, that mud and mire that Christ lifts us out of. What in us wants to be lifted up in a fire? Well, maybe our flesh or pride. We want to blame Satan for our pride and willful arrogance, but it starts from within. He just feeds bacteria to our old flesh until we're infected. We lust for the latest and the greatest when what's needed is God's affirmation, not man's. We're envious and discontented instead of being grateful for all of God's gifts. Gratitude is a great substitute for envy. Be happy for others. It means that God is good and His will be done, not ours. God wants His desires in our hearts to set us free from selfish desires and willful ways. In Jesus' time, people were worried about what went into their mouths, but Jesus told them to worry about what's in their heart. Matthew 15:17. Jesus says, don't you see whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? I think that was a potty story, sorry. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. I wonder if I worry as much about how clean my heart is as I do as about how organic or pure my food is. A. Philip Parham says, anything that is pure is 100% itself, unpolluted and containing no additives or foreign matter. Wow, that's a pure heart. No evil there. The war over our heart and mind and body is a series of battles that affect our abundant living. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Remember, it's a spiritual war. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they're a divine power. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. Beth Moore describes strongholds as concrete fortresses we've constructed around our lives, block by block, ordinarily over the course of years. We create them for protection and comfort. Inevitably, however, these fortresses become prisons. At some point, we realize we no longer control them. They control us. Beth goes on to say, in ancient times, a stronghold was a place of hiding in times of insecurity. Is that abundant living? When you're insecure, what are your strongholds? Is it money, control, acceptance? Do you use shopping, alcohol, gossip, or food to calm the fortress? How about anorexia or sexual promiscuity to gain temporary power in this world? Trying to find our worth as women. Even worry gives us a feeling of control as we hide in fear. These behaviors are familiar and offer fleeting comfort. Look for strongholds that Satan uses in your life. Don't let him use your old patterns and exploit them. He doesn't care if you're already suffering, if you're a mourning mother, a father with cancer, a sister recovering from alcoholism or some other illness. He will seek to defeat your spirit, but Christ says he can't do it. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies within our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are his heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. What glory, what power. This power is really big. The lame walk, the blind see, and the prisoners are free. Men and women are set free of themselves, their past, their fears, and pain. It releases us from strongholds. Don't minimize God's power. The next time you're shaking in your shoes, stop, stick your head outside, and look up to the heavens. God created them. The stars in the sky, the mountains that stand, and the seas that roar, and the beautiful lake. Come on, let's think about it. Dad is really big, and we're his girls. Satan and his flying monkeys can only try to run us off the road. But his best efforts have failed. Christ died and rose again for us. We have eternity today, so be wise in the ways of the enemy. Be even wiser in the ways of Christ. Be careful how you live, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalm, hymn, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God, our Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you know our struggle, and you know the battle that's before us. And now I pray that we would know we're victors, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, we would take the time on a daily basis to seek you out and to let you expose anything that's not of you and purify our hearts, Lord. And that we would prepare for battle with the full armor you give us daily, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we would reach out to one another and support one another in the struggle and battle. We'd make each other accountable, God, to one another and to you most of all. So, Holy Spirit, be with us. Be with us today. Be with us as we go out and spend some time with you. We love you so much, Jesus. I just pray we can carve out a little time right now for you, Lord God, and allow you to work in our hearts and to speak to us, and that we would begin to listen and allow you to change and mold us and make us more like you. We love you so, Father, and I know you love each woman here so independently and so perfectly and so uniquely, God. I pray that I and she and they and all of us would feel it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So be with us now in Jesus' name. We're going to have a little time of reflection. We kind of started it earlier after Sharon's talk. There were some questions at the bottom, and there's a few more here. We actually have, we're going to sing a song and then go out and take some time to look at those questions. And what I'm really asking you is to think about retreating. We have a beautiful lake here that I found in my devotional. Let's see, it's 23 miles long, 10 miles wide, and so deep that a line dropped 1,900 feet does not touch bottom, and it lies 5,000 feet above the neighboring oceans. Storms come and go in the waters that are lower down the mountain, but this lake is so still and clear that eyes can penetrate it. I just want you to take the time to let God's eyes penetrate your heart. Okay, we've got about a half hour, plenty of time to have time with the Lord, and still have time to go to lunch at noon. I'm going to ask you guys not to talk to each other, to just go off separately, to leave here and find a private place, and to give God a half hour of your time, just to speak to you, to be in prayer, to be alone, because that's what retreating is about. It's getting away from everything and stopping and allow God to penetrate us and to begin to help us see what it is He has for us. And we're so busy in this world today, and we have so many responsibilities, we don't always get a chance. So we're praying that some of the things that were spoken today would be used by the Holy Spirit to bring up things in you that you want to go to God with, and that He wants to talk to you about. And I just really thank you for your time. We're going to sing now, and then we'll have lunch at noon, and then we'll meet back at 1 o'clock by that beautiful pillar rock area, and we'll be working for it. So thank you.